All right, so we are holding on Ayin Bey's Amud Aleph, about the middle of the Amud. But I guess we'll go back a little bit. We'll start. So the line begins Hillel, about a third of the way down the Amud. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah like this. We said when it comes to the 11th day of the Yemei Ziva, we said we had a couple of possibilities. One is where the woman has a Re'iyah on that day, terrible that evening, which she's not supposed to do because she's supposed to wait for the next morning. Then they have relations. So Beit Shammai says that's completely no good. On a Daraisa level, she's still considered a Zava. Therefore, she and her husband are both Tomei, they're Chayiv and a Karban. Bissel says she's Potter from a Karban. Second case was we had in the Mishnah where because Beit Shammai is saying that you have to have a Sfira during the daytime. So Beit Shammai is saying, as we're going to go on and see, that because the Re'iyah was on the 11th, therefore you don't really need a Sfira after that. So it's only the Rabbanim that we're going to impose Tuma on them. But Beit Shammai holds that you need an actual Sfira, and that means you need an actual next day, which is the daytime hours. Then we have the case. Suppose she toveled during the next day, and they had relations, and then she had another Re'iyah. So now Beit Shammai says on a Dirabonim level, they're Tomei, and Basilil says, no, on a Dirabonim level, they're not Tomei. We just call them a Gargaron. We call them a glutton, that either they're too quick to have relations rather than waiting for that evening and making sure that
even if she saw blood?
No, she saw blood, right. But the point is, but it's the 12th day, so it's not any of the Yemei Ziva anymore. Now it's already Yemei Nidah. Right. No, fine. But the point is, they had relations before she had that Re'iyah. If it had happened earlier during the 11 days, if it happened, let's say, the 5th and 6th day, respectively, if, let's say, she had the Re'iyah on the 5th day and then went to the mikveh during the daytime on the 6th and later that day had a Re'iyah, there's no question that it counts retroactively in the sense that now she needs the 7th day to be a clean day, that's D'oraisa, and that, therefore, if they had relations earlier that day, they're going to need to bring a carbon because it turns out, after the fact, that she was a Zava. But here, D'oraisa, but here we're talking about it. Okay, so we started quoting a braisa that they both agree that toveling by night is no good if it was earlier during the 11 days. They both do agree, the machlokes is only about the 11th day. They also both agree that therefore that if she toveled that evening and they had relations and then nevertheless it doesn't help. The tevila was no good because you have to do it by day. You need a Yom HaShomer for a Zava, right? So everybody agrees to that. Machlokas is strictly about what happens when she had the Re'iyah on the 11th. So, we'll start from the line Hillel. The line begins Hillel about a third of the way down the Amud. Omr lahen Beit Shammai le Beit Hillel. So Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, my shna yom yud aleph mi yom toch yud aleph. Why are you making a distinction between the 11th day and any time earlier than the 11th day? Im shiva loy l'truma. You, after all, agree that as far as truma, it's the same thing, that both she and her husband are going to be mekame mishka v'moshav as a result of this. Lo yishva loy l'korban. Shouldn't it be equal as far as a korban? Why are you saying that in that case where she toveled the night after the 11th, then they're both mekame mishka v'moshav, but they're potter from the korban? You're being inconsistent.
The night after the 11th is yud aleph.
Because Yom Yud Aleph, she had the Re'iyah on the 11th, and then she toveled the following night. Because that's the first case the Braisa was talking about. Rishavim Tevelas Laila Lazav. So we're talking about she had the Re'iyah on the 11th, and then she toveled the night after the 11th. So Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, hello. What's the logic? If you agree with us that they're Mekamim Mishka V'Moshav, so it sounds like you agree that on a Daraisa level it's no good. There's one line down over there. It sounds like on a Daraisa level, it sounds like you're saying, Beit Hillel, you agree on a Daraisa level that Tevila was no good, and therefore you're agreeing that they're both Tomei. So in that case, there should be Chayiv and a Karban, because he had relations with the Zava. Omru lahen Beit Hillel Beit Shammai loy. So Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, no, it's not exactly the same thing. Im amauta b'soch yud alef yoim. Granted, you could say that it's one thing when it's earlier during the 11 days. Shekin yom shala achrav mitzaref imay leziva. Because what happens then is there's a Re'iyah the next day, then it counts together and it makes the result. So in other words, yes, if she has the Re'iyah on the first or second or third or any time through the 10th. Actually, the 10th we'll deal with on Amud Beis. There'll be a machloekas about that. So let's say any time from the first through the 9th. If she has a re'iyah, why does she need the next day to be a Yom HaShomer, to be a Yom Tahar? Because if there's a re'iyah the next day, then it combines together, and now she's a Zavak Tana. And if it happens during the 11 days, and if it happened twice, in 2 days in succession, and then the third day is supposed to be the clean day, and then it turns out she bleeds on the third day as well, then she's a Zavag Zerla. So therefore, it's logical to say that in those cases, that we're going to...
Which is not the case
by the 11th, exactly. Terminal B'yom Yud Aleph says, V'tilot V'shamai, how are you comparing with the 11th day? She'ein Yom Shal'achrav Sh'nistarif Imi L'ziva. The day after that does not combine with it as far as Ziva, because the fact of the matter is, and even you, B'shamai, agree in the Mishnah, that the Re'iyah on the 12th is not going to combine together with the Re'iyah of the 11th, because one is doing the Yemein Ziva and one is doing the Yemein Nida. So it's not going to combine together.
That's what Shiloh is saying, the next day has to be within the 11th.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's your right.
That's Hillel is arguing, right. Omru lahen Beit Shammai, still Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, hashvu mi Beit Seichem, after all, you need to be consistent, you need to be consistent with your rules, im shival ola truma yishval ola korban. If you're going to agree that this case of the 11th and then traveling after the 11th makes them still that they're tomei when they have relations, then yishval ola korban, and they should be equal as far as the korban, the im lo shival ola truma ola korban lo yishval ola truma. And if you're saying they don't have to bring a korban in this case, then they shouldn't be tomei either. Apparently, Tosfos points out, well, actually, before we get to Tosfos, actually, apparently, Beit Shammai is under the impression that when Beit Hillel says, Matam and Mishnah and Moshe, they're under the impression that Beit Hillel means Daraisa.
Oh.
So in that case, then there's the question, how can you say that only one rule Daraisa applies, but the other one does not?
Which rule applies?
The rule of Tum of Atara seems to apply, because Beit Hillel is agreeing, because she went to the mikvah only the night after the 11th, rather than waiting for the day of the 12th, and then they had relations, then we're saying Matam and Mishka v'Moshav, it sounds like Beit Hillel is saying they're both Tomei on a Daraisa level. So why aren't they bringing a korban? And if you're saying they don't bring a korban, then they shouldn't be Tomei either. Omru lahem Beit Hillel, so Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, no, actually what we're saying is only Dirabon. Im hevi anuhu l'day tumah l'hachmir. Granted, we can apply to them tumah where midrabanan, which is something that would be machmir on midaraisa, they wouldn't be tomei as a result of this bia. And midrabanan, we're going to say that yes, but that's a chumrah. Fine. Lo nevi ehu l'day korban l'hachol. Right, but we can't apply a din midrabanan which would result in a kula. What would happen in this case if we're making them bring a korban chatas for having done an isur karis b'shogeg, but it's not an isur karis, it's only a din d'rabbanan. So then you're telling them to bring, because after the 11th day, therefore they'd be bringing a cholin la'azara. So that you can't do that. So yes, so this is the thing. You Beit Shammai, I'm misunderstanding them. You thought we're thinking tumah because of a d'raisa thing. We're only saying d'rabbanan, and d'rabbanan, we can't make them bring a korban. And furthermore, says Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai, actually, on the contrary, we have a kasha on you. Midivreichem atem noshchin. Noshchin literally means bit, but actually, the art school mentions that actually the proper girsa apparently is supposed to be noshavim, which Rashi translates as mukshin. We can refute noshavim, meloshin tshuva. We can bring a refutation from your own words and say that you're not being consistent. You're saying that suppose she did tovel on the 12th, which was the second case of the Mishnah, during the daytime she toveled, v'shimsha, and then they had relations, and then she has a re'iyah later that day. You're saying the tamim mishka v'moshe with turim and a korban. Then you're saying that she and her husband are both tamei, but they're potter from the korban. So now we could say to you, apachim hashvu midyaseichem, nu, you also should be being consistent. You are arguing to us that we're being inconsistent in the first case and saying that Mishka v'Moshe, where they should toggle the night after the 11th, and saying Mishka v'Moshe, yes, Korban loy, nu, and Korban loy, Korban no, nu, you guys are saying the same thing regarding where she toggled on the 12th. You're also doing the same thing. You're also being inconsistent, applying Tum of a Tara, but not a Korban. Well, that's the question. So we could say the same thing. Atem hashvu midyaseichem. So you also should be consistent when it comes to the 12th. Im shivalo l'truma yishvalo l'korban. If you're going to say they're the same as far as truma, then they should be the same as far as korban. Im lo shivalo l'korban l'yishvalo l'truma. Ella, we have to answer. So why do you what do we do? What why are you saying it's okay to be inconsistent in that case? Ella lahachmu v'lo hakol, but Ella is continuing to be Shammai. So what are you doing? If we were to point out that inconsistency to you, you would say it's not being inconsistent. Ella lahachmu v'lo hakol. When it comes to a din de rabbanon, we can only apply a chumra to make them tome, but not a kula to make them bring chulin la'azara. Hachanami, the same thing when it comes to our opinion regarding night after the 11th lahachmu v'lo hakol. We're being we're not being made.
Basil, ask and answer for them.
Right. So Basil was saying, you're asking us that we're being inconsistent, but that's because you thought that the case we're talking about the night after the 11th, when we say that they're Tomei, you thought we meant Tomei Daraisa. But the same way as you yourselves know that when you say, one second. The same way as you, Beis Shammai, know that when it comes to the 12th, when it comes to when she toveled on the 12th, and later she had a re'iyah that day. You're obviously, when you're saying they're tomei, but there's no korban, it has to mean you're talking about zeder d'rabbanan. The same thing, when we talk about the night after the 11th, we're also talking about zeder d'rabbanan.
I think that Shammai said that the night after the 11th is midah d'oraisa. It's not, it's the 12th already.
No, because the fact is, Tosfos pointed out at the beginning of the sugya, dispiras erev lav spirahi. A count by night is not counting, but is not considered a sphira. Meaning, in other words, that when you need a yom hashomer, when a shemeres yom keneged yom needs a clean day, it has to be the daytime. This is one of those cases where the night doesn't work.
It's only by
zava. Now, Tosfos says, so in that case, Beis Shammai should have realized that themselves. If they themselves know that when it comes to the 12th, they're talking about a din d'rabbanan, why didn't it occur to them that maybe Beis Hillel, when they're talking about the night after the 11th, is also talking about a din d'rabbanan? But Tosfos says, because Beis Shammai figured like this. It's one thing when you come to the 11th day. Given that we, Beis Shammai, are saying that the sphira that night is not considered a sphira, and she's still a zava d'oraisa, so then if in the case that Beis Hillel is talking about, if they would say like this, you Beis Hillel, because after all, the 11th day and then the night after it doesn't count as a day for Sfira, it doesn't count as a clean day, if you're going to apply Mishka Vamosha, people are mistakenly going to think they have to bring a korban as well. When it comes to the daytime of the 12th, everybody is going to realize that the din did up on them. Because everybody is going to realize once you came to the 12th day, then already, and you started the 12th day clean, then it can't be Mistarif and it's only Midrash on them. So therefore, what Shammai is saying, it is more logical to say that in one case we can apply a din de rabbanan without people mistakenly thinking that is daraisa, and in the other case not. Whereas this little says we're not going to make that distinction. If we can apply a din de rabbanan in one case, we can apply it in the other case as well. But Shammai would argue like this. When it comes to Rishitova the night after the 11th, we're going to take the view as follows. You, Beis Hillel, are saying that it's a good sphira. Fine, we disagree with that. But even so, fine, you, Beis Hillel, are entitled to your opinion that a sphira Laila is considered a sphira, and therefore that Daraisa, she's not a Zava anymore. However, Beis Shammai is saying to Beis Hillel, if you're going to impose a din de rabbanan of their Tomei, people are going to mistakenly think that it is actually a Tumor Daraisa. Then they're going to think they have to bring a Korban as well, and they're not going to realize they're bringing a Chulam Azara. So therefore, they're saying to Beis Hillel, why are you making a din de rabbanan in a case like that where people might get confused? Mela, when it comes to Shitovon on the 12th day, that's clearly de rabbanan. That's what we're saying. The later year kind of combined with the earlier one is clearly only a din de rabbanan. So then there's no reason for confusion.
But why does the Shama doesn't take the fact that Sphir Vereb and Asir?
That's the thing. They're saying, we hold Daraisa. Fine, you want to...
Because
they hold to Sphira Set of Lav Sphira. They agree. In fact, we said at the very beginning of the Gemara, Beshovin, Betevela, Slila, Lazava, Shein, Atzvila. They both agree that a Tzvila by night is not a valid Tzvila. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. All it is Beis Hillel is saying it does help to the extent that then at least the Tumah is not Daraisa. Then it's only the Isser and the Tumah are only Dirabon.
Okay.
Right. So Beis Shammai would say, we hold it Daraisa. Fine, you want to hold it d'rabbanan, gezunta heis, but how can you make a takana that'll mislead people to think that it's daraisa? We're just still saying we can do it. Okay. Next, Omer Rav Huna, mishkava u'meshava shebashen. Now, what happens a case like this? We said that if she has a re'iyah earlier during the 11 days. And we said, then she toveled the next day. So what we said is like this. Okay, in the Mishnah, we talked about the case involving the 11th. We said if she had a re'iyah on the 11th, she toveled during the day on the 12th. Later on, she has a re'iyah, then Beth Shammai is saying you have a problem. You have a din d'rabbanan that she's told me. Rav Huna is going to extend that a little bit. Amar Rav Huna, Mishkava Shabbashava Shabbasheni, the Mishkav and Moshav that she sits on or lies on the day after her re'iyah, when she toveled the next day, Beth Shammai Metamin Alpha Pisha Tovlo Alpha Pisha Le Rasa. Beth Shammai is still going to say, Midrabbanan, that her bed or chair or whatever is going to be Tomei, even if there was no Re'iyah, and even though she toveled and even though there was no Re'iyah. This is talking about within the 11 days. So within the 11 days, if she toveled the next day, what happens is, if she has a re'iyah later that day, it's mitzaref, and she's still a zavak tana, or a zavak dola, as the case may be. If there's no re'iyah by the end of the day, then good, everything's good, and then she's mutzah to her husband again, and she's not making mishkav moshav. She went to the mikvah. So she had a re'iyah, let's say she had a re'iyah on the fifth, let's say she had a re'iyah on the fifth day of the day, or the days of Ziva or something. She had a re'iyah, let's say, on the fifth day of the days of Ziva. Then, so the next day, she has to be shemeret yom keneged yom. She needs the whole 6 days to be clean. Sometime during the day on the 6th, she goes to the mikveh. Now, we know that if she had a re'iyah later that day, it would be tomei on a daraisa level, and her mishkav amosha from earlier that day between the tevilah and the re'iyah would still be tomei. That's a given. Rav Huna is saying, even if it turns out there was no re'iyah, nevertheless, midrabbanan on that mishkav and moshe is going to be tomei. So she had the re'iyah, let's say, on the 5th day. She toveled on the 6th day. Anything that she sits or lies on, for anything that would be able to be Tumas Midras, from when she toveled until the end of that day, Rav Huna is saying, Beth Shammai would say Midrabbanan, those things are going to be Tumas. Why is that? My Tumas. Given the Ilu Chazya Mitama, given that if she had a Re'iyah, she would definitely be Torah on a Daraisa level, Hashtanami Mitamiya, then we're going to make a Gzera, even though there was no Re'iyah, nevertheless, we're going to make a Gzera, and say that and say it's going to be Tomei Midrabbanan.
Well, that's very confusing. People are going to believe it's Daraisa, then not Darabanan.
If they believe it's Daraisa, then only if she and her husband have relations, then there's a problem. Here we're not even talking about they had relations. We're just talking about something that she sits on. Okay, so they'll think that it's Daraisa. Big deal. I mean, we're not talking about a korban here yet. We're not talking about they actually had relations. All we're saying is that Rav Huna is just saying that once we have a case where Daraisa, if there is a re'iyah, it's going to be Tomei retroactively, then Midrabbanan, we're going to apply that even if there was no re'iyah. The advantage is that this way, the Chachamim are going to make that zera, in case you might confuse the case where she did have her ear not. But wait, obviously that's not the end of the discussion. We're going to discuss that. Amar Rav Yosef, my Kamash Malan. So Rav Yosef says, what is Rav Huna's Chiddush? We seem to be able to infer it from the Mishnah. Tanena, we said in the Mishnah, Tavla Yom Shal Achra Vashim Shas Besa, that if she tovled the next day, in the Mishnah we were talking about after the 11th day, and then they had relations, and then later she had a re'iyah, which is the Gzeder Drabbanan that we were just talking about before, that Beshama is imposing Mishkav and Moshav on her.
So it means the
12th day in that case. So by the same logic, once Beshama is saying that the next day, even though her re'iyah on a Daraisa level cannot combine with the previous re'iyah, nevertheless on a Drabbanan level we make it combine and make it that retroactively her Mishkav and Moshav is Tomei. The same logic would be the next day after she toveled. It would be the same thing.
This is basically what
Beth
Shammai said before, also.
Well, no, this is what Beth Shammai is saying.
Beth Shammai said that if she toveled during the day,
and later she has a re'iyah, then fine. Harei the gauger on, he said he's a glutton. He shouldn't have been so quick to have a re'iyah, to have relations. But not Daraisa and not even Darabanan, or at least, well, okay, we learned earlier in the Masechta, actually, we had a discussion over there that gauger on means it's awesome, the Darabanan, but not that they impose trauma. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so Rabbi Yosef is saying you seem to be able to infer it from the Mishnah that yes, this Shammai is going to make a Gzeira Dirabanan on that. Rav Kahana Rasa Shiny, but Rav Kahana says no, because it's not necessarily you can prove it from the Mishnah, because the fact of the matter is, in the Mishnah, you're talking about she had a re'iyah the next day. Here, we're not talking about there was any re'iyah. And still, Rav Huna is saying that Shammai is going to make this Gzeira.
This is on the 12th, right?
No, we're talking about here we're talking about earlier during the 11th days. Here we're talking earlier during the 11 days. Rav Huna is saying, because in the case of our Mishnah, the only thing that can make her, the only thing that, because the original Re'ir was on the 11th day and then she terrible the next day, so far so good, the only thing is we're going to impose a Gzeira Dirabanan that if she had a Re'ir later that day, then we're going to combine it with the previous one and make her Tomei retroactively and make her husband Tomei retroactively as well. Where she terrible in the morning and then had a Re'ir later that day. But Rav Huna is saying also that the Chama would say another thing. Where the cases that Daraisa, the next day, the Re'iyah would combine, then we're going to say Drabbanan, even if there's no Re'iyah, we still apply that Torah. Rav Huna is saying. So Rav Yosef is asking, isn't that the same as the case of the Mishnah? Rav Hana is saying no, because in the case of the Mishnah, you have a second Re'iyah, and here you don't. So it's not necessarily the same thing as the Mishnah. That's Rav Huna's Chiddush. Amar Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef asks, so what? Why? Who cares whether she has a next Re'iyah on the 12th day? The fact is Re'iyah the Nidhi. The fact of the matter is it's only a Re'iyah of Nidhi. Because the 12th day is already beginning the Yemei Nidhi. So Rav Yosef says, you Rav Kahana, she has a Re'iyah. No, in the case of the Mishnah. In the case of Rav Kahana is arguing that Rav Huna is telling us a Chiddush that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah, because in the case of the Mishnah, there was a Re'iyah on the 12th day, whereas here in our case, there wasn't a Re'iyah, let's say, on the 6th day. Rav Yosef is saying, what's the difference, Re'iyah or no Re'iyah? Either way, on the Daraisa level, the Re'iyah is not combining, because it's a Re'iyah Nida. By the way, it's an interesting point. Rashi mentions over here that then, if there was a Re'iyah Nida, then you would have the Tumah of Mess left, but that only applies to her, not to her husband. We learned in the first parak that when we say Kol Anoshe, when we say Kidul of Kidda, Mess left, whatever, it only applies as far as her Tumah and as far as Tumah of Tumah and Kodshim, not her husband. We learned in the first parak, let's say a woman who doesn't have a bet tavur, if she and her husband have relations, later on, within 24 hours after that, she becomes nigger. We say that everything that she touched within those 24 hours is back to her last bedikka is tummy because of the suffix. But we say it doesn't apply to her husband. Her husband is not tummy for me. So therefore, in other words, applying that over here, you wouldn't say that her husband is Tomei. Achronim ask on that, though, didn't we learn at the beginning of the Masechta that Shammai says that there's no such thing as Masechta. Shammai says, Kol HaNashim Dayan Shaitan, the first words of our Masechta. So there's a couple of answers on that. One obvious possible answer, which some of the Achronim say, is, okay, Shammai says one thing, Beit Shammai could say something else. But the Chacham Sofer says different. It's not necessarily the same thing. Beit Shammai is a Tomei. But the Chacham Sofer gives a different answer. He says that what Rashi is talking about over here is what we said in the first paragraph. Why indeed don't we want to apply the Tumah of Me'es La'es to the boil? Because if we did that, then it would discourage people from having from period Verivia at all. If a woman doesn't have a regular vest, her husband is always going to be nervous to have relations with her, because then if any time within 24 hours after that she has a Re'iyah, then he's going to be telling. But over here, we're talking about the 11th and 12th days. We're saying in the Mishnah, even Basil was saying, Hareza Gazer on it. He has no business having relations with her on that day. Therefore, here we can apply the Tumah of Mesla. Okay. Even according to Shaman. Okay, anyway. The point is that, so Rabbi Yosef is saying, given that in our Mishnah, we're talking about a Re'iyah on the 12th, and a Re'iyah on the 12th cannot possibly be Ziva, by definition it's Nidah, then as far as we're concerned, it's exactly the same thing as if there was no Re'iyah at all. So in that case, we're back to what is Rav Huna's Chiddush? Because if there's no Re'iyah, then if there's no Re'iyah on the 12th, then by the end of the day, she'll be Tahor, fine. But if there's a Re'iyah on the 12th, still on a Daraisa level, it doesn't make her any more of a Zava than she was, because she's not going to need to be a Shemeret Yom Kineged Yom, because now she's a Nida instead.
If there is a
Re'iyah on the 12th.
Why do you say there is a Re'iyah or not?
Because Rav Huna is saying, let's say, for example, she had a Re'iyah on the 5th day of the 11th days, and then we're saying the 6th day, even after she goes to the Mikvah, Majara Bonan, we're still going to be Matam and Mishka Vamosha for hers. So Rav Yosef is arguing back on Rav Kahana. It is exactly the same case as our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, there's a Re'iyah, and in the case of Rav Huna, it's talking about there's no Re'iyah. But the point is, in both cases, you don't have something which is going to combine with the previous Ziva. In the Mishnah, it doesn't combine because Nida, and in Rav Huna's case, it doesn't combine because there's nothing to combine. There's no Re'iyah. So it's exactly the same thing, in effect. Yeah. Abaya answers Rav Yosef. Let me explain to you what Rav Kahana was asking. Rav Kahana hochi kokashalei. Rav Kahana's question is as follows, that he says that what Rav Huna is saying seems to be implied in the Mishnah, and there's no chiddush in it. I can understand the case of our Mishnah where there was a second Re'iyah and it turned out to be on the 12th day, and okay, the 12th day is already a main Nida. Fine, does Rinan Re'iyah the Nida, or the Re'iyah the Zava? Okay, we can say, Beit Shammai might well say, we're going to make a Gzeira, Dirabbanan, we're going to consider it as if it was Ziva, because the Re'iyah on the 12th day, which is Yemei Nida, is easily confused with the Re'iyah during one of the Yemei Ziva. And therefore, we're going to say, Dirabbanan, we treat it as if it's combined. But Rav Kahana's question is, if there was no Re'iyah at all, which is Rav Huna's case, which he had a Re'iyah on the 5th and then nothing on the 6th, my Nigzaba, what are we supposed to make a Gzeira? You're not going to confuse a case where there was a Re'iyah with a case where there wasn't. Yeah, La Halacha, fine, a Re'iyah on the 12th and a Re'iyah and no Re'iyah on the 6th are effectively the same as far as Ziva. But come on, as far as the average person on the street, they're going to see that, you know, Re'iyah is Re'iyah, not Re'iyah is not Re'iyah. Why should we make a Gzeira on one because of the other? And not only that, says Abaya, Tnan, we have a Mishnah in Masechtas Zavim that seems to contradict Rav Huna. The Mishnah says, it's going to be a long, long Mishnah out of Braisa, so we're going to get into it for a while before we get back to the question, but we learn in a Mishnah like this, Haroya Re'iyah Achat Shel Zoiv. A man has one Re'iyah of Ziva. So we know it takes two to make him a Zav.
The same day?
It actually doesn't matter with a man whether it's the same day or subsequent days. We've learned that earlier in our Masechta, that there is a chumrah of a zav over a zava, namely that a zav can have multiple zivas in one day, or even he can have one long one, which is long enough to count as two, and they count as separate ones, whereas for a woman they have to be on separate days. Yeah.
There's more chumrah for a man.
So in that sense, there's a chumrah with a zav over a zava, right? That a man is able to become a Zav all in one day, or within an hour, or whatever, whereas for a woman to become a Zav, a G'dayla, she would need to have 3 days in succession. Okay. So, Haroya Re'eh Achas Shol Zav. Bet Shammai Omim K'shemer Esteem K'neged Yom. So, Bet Shammai says, we treat him like a woman who's Shemer Esteem K'neged Yom, which means, as we've been discussing, that even after she toivels, anything that she touches is questionable. Is it going to end up that she has another Re'iyah later that day, and then it turns out it combines with the previous one, or not? The same thing over here. If he toivels, and let's say later on he touches Meister, has to be Meister, because with Truma, he's anyway going to postulate it being a Tvulyayim, but if he touches Meister, set Meister Sheni, that is, same thing. If he has another Re'iyah later that day after the Tvila, it's still going to combine with the previous one. So therefore,
right,
it's going to make him now a Zav. He's now going to be a Zav Baal Shtei Re'iyah, who has all the dinim of Mishkav and Moshav and Evan the Soma and all that. Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Retroactively.
Because it turns out he had a second Re'iyah the same day. He toiled in between, but Shammai is saying it doesn't help. Or Basil Oman, Kabalkari. Basil says no, he's like a Balkari. So as soon as he toiled, he's Toher as far as Meister. He needs head of Shemesh in order to be Pete Kodshin. Fine, but that's it. The point is that Shammai is saying that the one-time Zav is like a Shemer Esteem K'neged Yom, meaning that Shammai is saying that we have to see what happens later that day, whether there's going to be another Re'iyah. Ve'tanya, now we learn in a Braisa further about the topic of Zav, Hamesit Es Re'iyah, if a person who's Tahor moves that first drop of Re'iyah. So you have, let's say, the guy had the first Re'iyah of Zav. Let's say it's lying there on a sheet or something. Somebody else, a Tahor person, moved that Kippah without actually touching it. So let's say, for example, he pulled the sheet off, so he pulled the other end of the sheet off the bed or whatever, and caused it to move. Bet Shammai Omim Tolin, so Bet Shammai says, we have to be Tola. We have to see, again, if this Zav has another Re'iyah the same day, then he becomes a Zav. Then it turns out that this first drop that came out earlier is considered Zoiv, and therefore the person who moved it is going to become Tameh from having moved Zoiv.
Even though it was only one.
Zero. Even though at the time it was only one, because later on that day it may become. It's the Tzara, but second one. It's really going to, right. It's going to activate it retroactively, exactly, and therefore the person who was Masek it is going to be Tameh, right. Vesil Matarin. Vesil says that no, it's the equivalent of somebody moving Shichvas Zera, moving Keri. It's only Matami B'maga, it's not Matami B'masa, therefore he moved it without touching
it.
If he touched it, then he becomes Tame, but because he only moved it by pulling the sheet or whatever, then he doesn't become Tame. Okay. Next case, Mishkovot or Moshavot Shebein Re'iyah Rishon or Re'iyah Shnia. What about Now, what about whatever beds or whatever seats the person, this possible maybe will be Zav, maybe won't be, that he sits on between the first Re'iyah and the second Re'iyah, the Shammai Tolan of Itzil and the Tarin. Same thing. The Shammai says that they're Tolari. We have to wait and see, is there going to be another Re'iyah that combines with the first one, or is there not? Now, this is, again, Beis Shammai had compared, in the Mishnah that we quoted from Zavim at the bottom of Amud Aleph, we said that Beis Shammai compares the Zav, this one-time Zav, to a Shemer HaSiyam Keneged Yoyim, which means that Beis Shammai holds that a Shemer HaSiyam Keneged Yoyim, the same thing. On the day that she's keeping as a clean day, the day after her one Re'iyah, we see what happened. Anything she sat on were toilah. Depends whether there's a Re'iyah later that day. Not like Rav Huna is saying that even if there's no Re'iyah, it's going to be Tomei.
So it's a contradiction.
Right. The Katoni Resha, and we said before, we said at the beginning, Haroya Re'ir Achasol Zoiv, Beth Shammai Omer Kishemer Asim Keneged Yom. Alma Shemer Asim Keneged Yom, Beth Shammai Tolan. So you see from that, Beth Shammai holds that with a Shemer Asim Keneged Yom, on her one clean day that she's checking, we have to be Toila. Now, according to Rav Huna, why are we Toila? Meaning that it's in a suspended state. Anything she sat on might, we have to wait till the end of the day and see. If by the end of the day she didn't have another Re'iyah, then no problem, the chair is Tar. If not, then retroactively it turns out the chair is Tama, and anybody who sits on it is going to
make it
according to Rav Huna, we are making it Tama Drabbana. According to Rav Huna, there's no reason to say Toilin. No matter what, the fact that she sat on it as a Shemer HaSiyam Keneged Yom automatically makes it. That's the question. That's where we have a contradiction on Rav Huna. The answer is, Rav Huna would say, "Lo tema shemer siyam keneged yoyim, ela ema kiboyel shemer siyam keneged yoyim." Rather, Rav Huna would say, "We don't that Beis Shammai is not comparing the zav, the one time zav, to the actual shemer siyam keneged yoyim, because in fact, with her, there's no reason to be toilah. Either way, what we're saying is that." He's comparing the one-time Zav to somebody who had relations with the Shemer HaSiyam Keneged Yom. Rav Huna would agree, in other words, when it comes to, if the Shemer HaSiyam Keneged Yom, the husband, has relations with her after she toiveled, then as long as there was no Re'iyah, he's not going to be Tomei even Midrabban. If she has a Re'iyah later that day, obviously he will be. That everybody agrees to. But Rav Huna, this that Rav Huna is saying, this Din Drabbanan that we're going to say, do Mishka V'Moshe, only applies as far as her, but not as far as the matter of Be'ilah, not as far as to apply it to her husband who had relations with her and make him be Matami Mishka V'Moshe. So that takes away the stira then, because then we're saying that Beis Shammai is comparing the Zav to the Boil Shemeres Yavim. When is his Mishka V'Moshe going to be Tomei? Only if there was actual Re'iyah later that day.
The Boil.
Only if she had an actual Re'iyah later that day. As opposed to Rav Huna would still say, but as far as her herself, her own Mishka V'Moshe, that's going to be Tomei regardless whether there was a Re'iyah or not.
Okay.
According to Beis Shammai.
That's
the question. My Shna Ihi Dimitamile. I skipped the line. My Shna Ihu Dilemitam Mishka V'Moshe. So why would Rav Huna say that Beis Shammai is making that distinction, that the husband, the boyo, is not going to be Matam Mishka V'Moshe like this? Or My Shna Ihi Dimitamile. And why are we saying that by her we're going to be Matame even if there was no Re'iyah that day, and him we're only going to be Matame if there was a Re'iyah? The reason is, because she herself, where it's common that she could bleed, she's the source of the tumah after all. So therefore, Gazru Barabbanan, so Rav Huna is going to say that Beis Shammai will say that the Rabbanan made a Gzeira and said, I took the line. Ihu deloy shchichu beidamim. He, the boil, where blood is not common to come from him. In other words, he's not the source of the trauma after all. Therefore, loy gozer beirabbanan. So Rav Huna is going to say that the Rabbanan didn't find the need to make a gzera on him to be metame his mishka v'moshe in case later on that day blood comes out of her. If it comes, it comes. Then it rests. But if she, where blood is commonly comes out of her, she's the source of the tumah. In other words, Gozer Bar Abanan, so he's going to say that Abanan will have made the Gzeira. So even before, even without a Re'iyah, we're still going to be Matami her Mishka V'Moshe on the possibility that later on she might leave. Okay. So the question then is, Maishna boils the Lemetamula Nishka V'Moshe. So why is it that we would be metame her mishkav moshav? Why by the boil are we not being metame him? So according to Rashi, why are we not being metame him at all? Why don't we say that he is tame at least? Okay, so according to Rashi, it sounds like. It's a little bit of a repetition of the question. Although maybe the question would be then, according to that fine, we're not going to be metame his mishka of Moshe, but at least we should make him some level of Toman and then a bottom level. Because even so, anyway, Tosfos has a different answer. Because of that, Tosfos asks that it seems to be repetitious. It seems to be the same question again. So Tosfos actually learns the previous question differently. The question is not about the distinction between the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom and her husband. The distinction is. Why the question the previous question was, why are we distinguishing between the roya re'ia achas shel zoy? Why are we saying that we're toila versus with her where Avuna is saying that it's tamei? Again, Rashi had learned the previous question and this question are both referring to the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom and her husband. Tosfos is explaining the previous question was about the distinction between the Zov Baal Re'iyah Achas, and the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. The second question is about the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom versus her husband. So why the distinction? The answer is, Mishkav Moshev D'Shchiach, because when it comes to Mishkav Moshev, which is a very common thing, Metamulei, so therefore we're going to be Metamei. Boiled the loshchiach, but that the husband should have relations with her when she's a shemeres yom keneged yom is unusual, because after all he's not supposed to do it, as we said in the Mishnah, he's a gargaron, even if it was after the Yemei Ziva, how much more so during it. So therefore loz matamia. So therefore we're not going to matame him because it's an unusual thing, and in general that Rabbanan don't make. According to everybody, according to both Rashi and Tosfos, the question here has nothing to do with the Zav anymore. It has to do with the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom versus her husband. Why according to Rav Huna, are we being metame her mishkav amoshav, but we're not being metame his if they had relations during that day? As long as there was no riyah. And the answer is no. So the first the previous answer had to do with who is more likely to be tamei. Now the second answer we're saying it's more likely Mishkav Moshev sometime during the day she's going to be sitting or she's going to be lying on something. So it's a common thing, and the Rabbanan makes Xeris on common things. That they should have relations is not common enough for the Rabbanan to make a Xeris about it. So far we haven't contradicted Rav Huna yet, because the contradiction that we wanted to bring from the Mishnah and the Braisa and Zrachim, we explained away. Next, now let's look at our Mishnah. We said Tovla Yom Shel Acha B'Shimsha, that if the woman tovled on the 12th day and then they had relations, Harezu Tarbu without her having been a Riyah, Harezu Tarbu Sra. So we said in the Mishnah it's a bad habit. It's a bad habit because Magon Obli Losin Tluyin, because anything that they touch for the rest of that day, or the question what happens regarding their beila is tluyin, we said is going to be in suspense because we don't know whether there's going to be another riyah. Here we're not talking about the 12th. Here we said in the Mishnah we're talking about earlier during the 11 days. So she toibled, so she had a riyah, let's say on the 5th. And then she toibled on the 6th, and they had relations. We said it's taubus ra. So it's a bad habit because my goan will be lost in fluyin, because you're getting yourself in a situation where it's a suffix whether it's going to end up that their de'ila was also, because it turns out that she had a re'ia later that day.
Same thing would apply during the 11th.
Well, because the 12th, we said, is not going to combine on a deraisa level, at least, with the 11th. Okay, maybe. 11. Maybe, but I mean, it's not going to be tluyin in the sense, be'ilosin is definitely not going to be tluyin in the sense that they're definitely not going to be carbon, because only derabah. Anyway, the question is, my lab divrei hafoldi, wouldn't we have to assume that this is according to everybody, even Beit Shammai? So we're saying, this last statement about Tovla B'yem Shel Acha B'Shimsha, where there was no Ri'iyah, it sounds like it's according to everybody. So we're saying, Magal Tolui. Now, according to Rav Huna, why is it Tolui? Again, according to him, we're treating everything that she touches as Tomei Vadei. Okay, but still Vadei. So why are we saying Tolui? The since it's loy b'tilul, he knows. As a matter of fact, you could answer that that last line of the Mishnah is only according to b'tilul. That Shammai, in fact, might say that it is. It's not tluyin because of the vaday. The fact that she tovled doesn't. You still have the gzeira d'rabbanim. The Tanya, as in fact, we learn in a brisa. Amalahem Rabbi Yehuda la b'tilul. That Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says to B'tilol, or actually Agoras Agura changes it to Beit Shammai says to B'tilol, because Rabbi Yehuda lived a few generations after B'tilol. Anyway, so he says to them, V'chilo zu asim kurin tarbus ra. What do you mean that you're only calling this tarbus ra, like it's a bad habit, it's not something inappropriate to do? It's actually flat out also. V'halolin eskavenze el lizol as a nida. This guy is intending to have relations with a nida. So he must say, what do you mean a nida? Nida sakudaitach, she's not a nida, we're talking about a zav. El aim lizol as a zav. Still Zaba, Sakadada, how can you call her a Zaba? The fact is she toveled, unless there is a Re'ia later on that day, she doesn't continue to be a Zaba. Ela in the liver Shemeris Yem Kinegajim. You're right, Rabbi Hodor, but Shammai means that after all, she is a Shemeris Yem Kinegajim, and it should be flat out also to have relations with her, not just Taubutzra, a bad thing to do.
But
that's why we said in a liberal Shemeris Yem Kinegedim, because the fact is he shouldn't be boil or Shemeris Yem Kinegedim. So that's the point. The Tilul is only calling it Targus Ra. But we see from this Braitha that Beit Shammai is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, as the case may be, is arguing with Beit Tilul and saying you're calling it Targus Ra, but really you should be calling it something stronger than that. That proves, though, that the last line of the Mishnah, the case where it says Harez of Targus Ra, is only according to Beit Tilul. Beit Shammai would disagree and call it something stronger than Targus Ra. That fits with what Rav Huna is saying. You're having your intention to be boil a shemeres yem kineged yom, which is flat out also, at least dirabonon, maybe even daraisa. So don't just call it Targus Ra.
No, it's not Gagra, it's worse.
It's worse than Gagra, but whatever it is, the point is not just Targus Ra, like a bad idea to do. It's worse than that. But we see, therefore, that line in the Mishnah is strictly according to Bithilo, which fits with what it's according to Bithilo. The last line of the Mishnah,
the Tavis Ra
is according to Bithilo. So therefore, that takes away the question we had on Rav Huna. We were wondering that, we're saying, Magon of Rilos and Tluyin, why would Beit Shammai say, according to Rav Huna, Tluyin, if according to them it's Tomei Vaday, even though she toveled, it's Tomei for the rest of the day, on the ground of the Zeta Drabonon? The answer is, Beit Shammai wouldn't say this line, Magon of Rilos and Tluyin. Beit Hillel is saying this line. Beit Shammai, in fact, disagrees with them on calling it Targus Ra and the Tama. They would also argue on saying, Magon of Rilos and Tluyin. They would say that, according to them, it's a full Issur. And they would say that at least her Maga is definitely Tomei. Okay, his Maga, fine. We could say before we don't apply a Zinjid Abbanon to that. Fine. Okay. So that's that, therefore. So we're left with, that's what Rav Huna is saying, but Shammai holds, that we make a Gzeira D'Rabbanon on anything that she sits on or whatever during the rest of the day after she toveled, while she's a Shemeres Yom Kinegedim. The halacha is not like the Shammai anyway, so it's a hilchos of the Mashiach. It's a moot point. I mean,
so
we got Rav Huna off the hook, but as far as practical halacha, the halacha is like the Tilul. New discussion. Itmar, Asiri. All this time we've been talking about, all this time.
Before we start, to recap, the halacha is what exactly?
So the halacha is like the Tilul, so therefore, if she tovled the night after the 11th and they had relations, then we say they're tomei on a drabbanon level. If she tovled during the 12th and they had relations, then and there was a re'iyah later that day, the Tilul calls him a gargadon. It's also for him to do it, but they're not imposing a tumah, nothing more than that. And if it was any earlier during the 11 days, then, and she tovled the next day and they had relations, then B'tilul is calling it Targus Ra. Because if she has a Re'iyah, not D'Oraita necessarily, because if later that day it turns out she has a Re'iyah, then retroactively it'll turn out that what they did was an Issur D'Oraita and they're going to be Chayav a Korban. And if there's no Re'iyah.
If there was no Re'iyah later
that day. If there's no Re'iyah later that day, then
Targus Ra.
Right. There's Targus Ra to do that because you don't know what's going to happen later.
On the 11th day, he calls it one name. He calls it...
So when it goes from the 11th to the 12th, we're calling it Gargara.
And when it's earlier than that, it's Targus Ra.
Because the difference is, when it's the 11th and the 12th, there's no possibility of her becoming a Zava again. Because if anything, it's a new thing. She became a Nidah. Yeah. So therefore, B'tilul is calling it Gargron. He's a glutton. He's too quick to, as opposed to when
which thing is of more of tougher than he's calling it?
I guess Targus Ra is worse. Targus Ra is a bad habit. Yeah.
Yeah,
when it was earlier than the 11th.
And there's no second Maria.
Right. Because if there's a second Re'iyah, then she and he are going to be telling me they're right. Right. But when it's the 11th going into the 12th, then Bethillah is calling it Gaugaron, and we actually had a machlokes earlier in the Masechta, whether Bethillah is saying it's also or just that it's not, or just that, or not. So you had Reb Ashi versus Reb Sheshes, whether Bethillah is actually saying it's also or not.
But if it happens to be on the 12th, there is a year
that she's a nidda anyway.
Nidda, not, so it's there is a card from them.
No, there's no, well, if she had, no, if she became a nidda before they had relations, obviously. But we're talking about if she tovled in the morning, they had relations in the afternoon, and late in the afternoon she had a flow, then she's going to be a nidda. She's not going to be continuing her zivos.
Right, and what's with
so then? Garnish was saying midrash
bonah. He's not bringing a carbon.
He's not bringing a carbon because there was no Easter daraisa over here because she already tovled.
Even though she was a nidda.
No, because she only became a nidda later in the day.
Right.
Okay, let's keep things straight. The second case of the Mishnah, what the second case of the Mishnah involved, she had her ri'iyah on the 11th. The in the morning, let's say 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning on the 12th, she went to the mikveh. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, she and her husband had relations. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she had a ri'iyah. So Bethillah is saying. Bethillah is saying it's also to do that. However, we're not going to be metame him. We're not going to be metame him for being boil her didrabanan. Whereas the shama is saying we are going to be metame her metame him didrabanan. Yeah. Okay. New discussion.
According to the shama, you would have to offer a
carbon. No, because there's no issur d'oraisa because she already went to the mikvah. And she went to the mikvah during the day, which is the proper time for her to go.
Which basically separate her between her
ziva and her nidu. Right. So now we have a discussion like this. Asiri, all this time we've been talking about the 11th day of the 11th day. What about the 10th day? Now, when you get down to it, suppose that she has Re'ias on the 10th and 11th. Again, she's never going to be able to become a Zavag Dola from that, because a Zavag Dola, you need 3 days within the 11 days. So the latest that she could start having a Re'ias and possibly become a Zavag Dola would be on the 9th day. So our Mishnah we were dealing with if she had a Re'ias on the 11th. What about if she has a Re'ias on the 10th? Does she need to be a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom or not? There you have Machlokes. Nevertheless, Rav Yochanan Omar Asiri Ketshi, Rav Yochanan says, for that purpose, we treat the 10th like the 9th, or any earlier, Ma Chi Boy Shimmer Af Asiri Boy Shimmer, just like if she had a Re'iyah on the 9th day, there's no question she needs to keep the 10th as a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom, because if she had a Re'iyah on the 10th, and again on the 11th, she's going to be a Zavag Dola.
If she has on the 9th
and 10th and 11th, yeah, she's going to be a Zavag Dola. Therefore, she needs to keep the 10th and see whether there was a Re'iyah on it. And if there was a Re'iyah on the 10th, then she's going to have to keep
it.
Because, right, exactly. So therefore, so Rabbi Yechanan says she does need a Shimur, she does need a clean day after the 10th. Rish Lakish Amar Asiri Ka'achad also. Rish Lakish says, no, the 10th is like the 11th. Ma Achad also like Boy Shimur, just like the 11th, we said in the Mishnah that Bethillah was saying, and after all, the Halacha is like Bethillah, you don't need Shimur, even she toggled that night, it's only the Rabbanim that would be Matame then. The same way he says that the 10th you don't need Shimu either for the same reason, because a Re'iyah on the 10th, the maximum it can make her is a Zavak Tana. There's no way it's ever going to make her a Zavak Gala, because even if she has on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, that's only a Zavak Tana, which doesn't need 7 clean days, and then she becomes a Nida right away. So that's it. No, nothing more is needed.
What's a Shimur exactly?
Shimur means a watch day. She watches that day and makes sure to check, to do Bedictus and make sure that she doesn't. Well, that's true also, right. But it also means, as we said before, that anything that she touches is tolerated, because it depends whether she has a Re'iyah that day. Okay. Okay, so that's the Machlokes of Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether the 10th is similar to the 11th in that regard. So Rabbi Yochanan says no, and Rish Lakish says yes. Okay. I forgot to mention, by the way, in connection with the Machlokas, the Shama Bethillah, the Sicha and Chelek Zayin, where the Rebbe analyzes the whole Machlokas and also the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish within Bethillah, and says that the one aspect of it is we see in many places that the Shama goes according to the potential of something and Bethillah goes according to the actuality of it. One famous example is with Hanukkah. Why does the Shammai say once one reason the Shammai says to start at 8 and then go down? On the first day, you have the full potential of Hanukkah. You have 8 days to go. Therefore, you're like 8. The next day, you only have 7 days left. And therefore, whereas Bethillah says you go according to the actuality. Right now, we only have 1 day of Hanukkah. Now, we only have 2 days of Hanukkah. The same way over here. The Shammai is looking at the potential that potentially she could be a Zava. And Bethillah was looking at the actuality. The fact is, this is the 11th day, and the 11th day is too late to become a Zava Zava. Within Bethillah's opinion, again, you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish arguing about the 10th. By the way, what would happen if she did have a Re'iyah on the 10th and the 11th? There you have, actually, there's a Tosfos earlier, there was a discussion related to this on Daf Nun Daled, where Tosfos learned over there that actually, that the same machlokes would apply. Rabbi Yochanan would say that then she needs to keep the 12th day as a Yom HaShomer, as a clean day, and if the 12th day, even though it's not part of the Yemei Nidah anymore, and Rish Lakish would say she doesn't, because again, she can't possibly become a Zavah. Then there's a different version of how the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish was presented. That it related, there's no real difference as far as the facts. It's just a different presentation of how the machlokes is, of what the machlokes has to do with.
About the tenth day.
It starts out like this. You have a braisa where the end of it goes like this. The beginning of the braisa is talking about the question. We learned in Masechet Menachos that when a person brings a korban todah, you bring four different types of bread with it, the 30 loaves of matzah, 10 each of three different types, and 10 of chametz. Leaving the chametz out of it for a second, you have three types of matzah. And you have those different amounts of oil that are used. You start out with a half a log of oil, and then you use a larger amount for the revucha, for the ones where the dough is first fried and then baked, and you use a smaller amount for the chalos and the rikisim. So how do we know that? So in the beginning of the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva brings a limud from the fact that it says bashemen a number of times in the Pesukim over there. It says that you have chalos that are made bashemen and rikikin that are made with bashemen, and therefore he learns from that. Ein ribu yachar ribu elo lamayit, when you have two ribuyim one after the other, it means you actually end up with a miut. Therefore we learn from that instead of most korbanos mincha, you use a full log of oil. Here you're learning that you only have half a log of oil because of this ribu yachar ribu. So the braisa continues. Omelo Rav Elazar ben Azariah Rav Akiva. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says to Rav Akiva, I don't accept that. Afilu ata marba bashemen bashemen kolayim kolay. Even if you sit the whole day over here and explaining how it says many times bashemen, and therefore you have a ribuy and a miyuk, etc. Eini shemei alach. I'm not going to listen to you. This is not something that you learn from a posuk. Ella, chatsi log shemen latoda, this fact that you have a half a log of oil that are used for the chalas and rikikin and whatnot of the toda, and also two other halakas, which you, Rabbi Akiva, say that you learn from Sukkin, or revius yayin lamnazir, or revius shemen, actually, goes to my Rav Ranch, will change the two, the half a log of oil that is used for the nazir's korbanos, because a nazir also brings with his korbanos, he brings 20 loaves of bread, two types of matzah, 10 loaves each. So this, that you need a revius of oil for them, revius yayin, he doesn't bring chametz with his, he brings only two types of matzah.
He doesn't bring loaves of matzah.
Whatever, loaves, call them whatever you want. I mean, there's some of them are thicker loaves than others. There are, there's chalas and there's rikikim. The chalas are thicker loaves.
A matzah is a matzah.
A matzah means that it's not leavened, means that's not chametz. It can be thick. Because it can be thick. You can have the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that matzah can be up to a tefach thick. And in fact, for example, the lachem upon him was matzah, and it was a tefach thick in some places. Yes. So you can have such a thing, a thick matzah, but it didn't rise. The dough itself, to begin with, was made. Yeah. And that's still considered matzah because it didn't rise. Okay. So the point is that when the nazir brings his korbanos, he brings 20 loaves of matzah with it, or whatever, 10 loaves and 10 flat wafers, whatever, and all of them are made with oil, and you use a quarter of a revius of oil for them. Right. Revius yayin that we have printed in front of us in the Gemara would refer to a different din, that if another drinks the revius of wine, then he's chayav malchus. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the fact that a toder needs a half a log of oil, the fact that a nazir is chayav for drinking a revius of wine, or the fact that he needs a revius of oil for his korbanos, and the 11 days that are between one set, between one period of Nidah and the next, all of those are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, says Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So not you, Rav Akiva, want to say that we learned them from Pesukim. I'm telling you, you're wrong, and they're actually halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Where halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there are no Pesukim for it. By definition, halacha l'moshe m'sinai is something which Hashem taught Moshe, which there's nothing about it in the Pesukim.
So what's Moshe m'sinai here?
So Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying, these three halachas, which you, Rav Akiva, are trying to learn from Pesukim. Tosfos, by the way, points out that these three halachas, why does he mention these three? Either because Rav Elazar ben Azariah learned these three together from his Rebbe, when his Rebbe taught him years before, he taught him these three halachas as one unit, so Rav Elazar ben Azariah remembered them as one unit, or because Tosfos says, because Rav Akiva argues about all three of them and holds that you can learn them from Pesukim. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah is telling them the Pesukim that you're learning them from, that's not the actual source of these halachas. The actual source is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The pesukim that you're dashing them from, we need for other purposes.
Okay. Again, these halachas include what?
So it includes achad osayim shebein nida l'nida. So now the question is, my halacha, what is the specific halacha about the 11th? In other words, the implication is, now, Rashi says, the implication is that Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying, not just that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is that there are 11 days, bein nida l'nida, but also it sounds like Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying that there's a halacha that is different about the 11th than the previous days. So what exactly is that din that he says is different, is halacha l'moshe m'sinai that's different than the previous days? Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that Rav Elazar ben Azariah is talking about that. In other words, Rashi says that the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish directly relates to what Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying. He's saying the 11 days is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, implying also that halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that the 11th is different than the previous days, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing what exactly he means by that. Tosfos says no, there are two unrelated things. Number one is Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying that there were 11 days halacha l'moshe m'sinai between Nida and Nida. Then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about the svara within that. Once we know, as an established fact, that there are 11 days, then we have to argue, is the 11th different than any of the other ones? So according to Tosfos, they're not arguing within what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying. They're just arguing, once we know that he says it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, then we have to ask, is the 11th different than the other ones? So my halacha, Rabbi Yochanan Omar halacha yud aleph, Rabbi Yochanan says halacha in the singular, there's one way in which the 11th is different than the previous days. Rish Lakish Amar Hilchos Achadasa. And Rish Lakish says it's plural. There's two ways in which the 11th is different than the previous days. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha Achadasa, meaning Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the difference between the 11th and the previous days? There's only one difference. Achadasa Hu Delei Bori Shimur. The 11th day, you don't have to have a clean day after it, because again, as we said in the Mishnah, if she had a Re'iyah on the 11th, this Hillel is saying that once she toiveled that night, then already she's not a Zava on a Daraisa level anymore. So you don't need a Yom HaShomer after the 11th. Holach Rini Ovid Shimer. But Rabbi Yochanan says, however, we do say the 11th is similar to the previous days in that it can be a Yom HaShomer for earlier days. That he would say, again, if she had a Re'iyah on the 10th, that she has to keep the 11th as a clean day. There's only one way, says Rabbi Yochanan, in which the 11th is different than the previous days, namely that if the Re'iyah is on the 11th, you don't need a clean day after it. But it is similar to the previous days in that it can be the clean day for previous days. So the same way, in other words, as within the earlier days, if let's say she has a Re'iyah on the 5th, no question she keeps the 6th as a clean day. If she has Re'iyah on the 5th and 6th, no question she keeps the 7th as a clean day. Rabbi Yochanan is saying the 11th is like the other days in that regard. If she has a Re'iyah on the 10th, then the 11th has to be kept as a clean day. So therefore, there's only one way, according to him, in which the 11th is different. Namely, that in itself, that if the Re'iyah was on the 11th, then you don't need a clean day afterwards. But a Shlokish Amar Hilchos Achadasa. So Rish Lakish learns that there are two halachas in which the 11th, two halachas l'moshe m'sinai, in which the 11th is different than the previous one. Number one, loy achad osa boy shimur, the 11th itself, if there was a re'iyah on the 11th, you don't need a clean day after it, v'loy shimur la'asiri habi. And also that you don't need, that it can't, it doesn't have to be used as a clean day following the 10th. Because again, Rish Lakish is saying, given that even if she had a re'iyah on the 10th and on the 11th, there's no way she can ever be a zavag gadla. But to be a zavag gadla, you need 3 days within the 11 days, and here you don't have it. So therefore, he says, 9, 10, and 11. So therefore, she says she has her year the first time on the 10th. You don't need to even keep the 11th as a Yom HaShomer. Because anyway, what's the...
Because
what's the maximum that can happen if she...
Rabbi
Yochanan says that no. That's the thing. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that there's only one... So we've had two versions of the Machlokes. One is that Rabbi Yochanan compared the 10th to the 9th, and the and therefore just like the 9th needs, so does the 10th. And the other way of looking at it is they're arguing what exactly is Halacha Moshe Sinai. Is it that we know there's Halacha Moshe Sinai that the... Well, according to Rashi, they're saying we know there's Halacha Moshe Sinai that the 11th is somehow different than the other one. Is it different in one way or two ways? According to Tosfos, it's not that they're saying we know the Halacha Moshe Sinai is just that there exist 11 days. We're arguing within Svara. Is there a svara to say that? Is there a svara to say that the 11th should be different than the previous one in one way or in two? How choice is going, right? Okay. So the question is, Hani halachas ninu? Are you telling me these concepts are halachas? L'moshe mitzinai? Hakroi ninu? All these things, this concept that you have 11 days, we learn from actual psukim.
Well, that's
okay, so that's what we're going to end up answering. But first, we're going to bring the actual psukim. How does Rabbi Akiva learn, or how does anybody learn that we should be able to learn 11 days from the psukim? So like this. The Tanya, we learn in a brisa. You have like this. In the psukim, in Parshas Matzora, you have two sections of it. First, it talks about the isha kisiya zava dom yia zava b'sara. If a woman has a flow, her flow is blood in her bosser, in her flesh. Then for 7 days she's a nida, and anything she sits on, etc., becomes fun. Then a few psukim later, it says the isha ki yazuv zov dom yomim rabim. If a woman has a flow of blood for many days, beloy es nidasa, not during the time of her nida. Or she has a flow adjacent to her nida. Then we say she's a zava. So the first few psukim are talking about a nida, and the next section is talking about a zava. So given that it says yomim rabim, so the Braisa says yachol haroya gimel yomim betchilas nida retzuchim tehei zava. You would think that maybe if she has a flow 3 days in a row anytime, even at the beginning of Yemei Nida, that should make her a zava, and she would need 7 clean days and have to bring a korban. So then what would we do with the earlier passage that says that if she has a flow where it doesn't and doesn't say she needs 7 clean days and it doesn't say she needs to bring a korban, you would say that only applies if she has a flow for 1 day, but you would say if she has a flow for 3 days, even though it's during the Yemei Nida, maybe she needs Shiva Nakim and she needs to bring a korban. But if she has a flow 3 days in a row at any time, she's going to be a zava. Talmud Loimar, therefore, to tell us not, the pasuk tells us beloy es nidasa al nidasa. They're actually two different gersos that seem to have been blended together in the Gemara over here. One, Rashi's girsa is that we're learning from the word beloy es nidasa. Since in the second section, you know what? We should actually get the chumash to be able to refer to it. Let's get a chumash for you quickly. Thank you. Okay, so like this. So you have it begins in pasuk yud tes. The isha kisiya zava, if a woman has a flow, dom yia zava b'ksara, her flow is a blood, then we say, we say shiva siyom tiyab nidosa, for 7 days she remains in her state, right, yeah, for 7 days she remains in her nidah, b'chalan agayah bar yitma ad orav, anybody who touches her becomes tamay, et cetera, et cetera. Then a few, so now that's talking about nidah. So it doesn't say anything about 7 clean days, because she needs a total of 7 days in her nidah status. Which we know throughout our Masechta so far we've had is the halacha, the original halacha before Chumrah Zid Avdeira, is that if she has a flow for 1 day or 2 days or 3 days or 5 days or what have you, as long as it ends before the end of the 7th day, she goes to the mikveh that night and she's tohur. Then a few psukim later, Pasuk Chafei, it starts, V'isha ki yozuv zov dama yomim rabim, if her flow is for many days, which means 3 days, beloy es nidasa, not during the time, because yomim means two, and rabim as a third one. Yomim is a plural, so it means two, and rabim. Beloy es nidasa, not during the time of Ramida, oy chisaduv al nidasa, or she has a flow adjacent, al, as the Gemara is going to say soon, means adjacent to her nida. Adjacent means right after, right before. he tells us that she has a flow.
Yeah.
So in other words, the point. So going back to our Gemara over here, when it says beloy es nidasa al nidasa, there's actually two different girsos that were blended together in the Gemara over here. One is that we're learning from beloy es nidasa that when do we say the rule of 3 days yomim rabim applies only if it's beloy es nidasa, not during her normal time of nida. So not during the 7 days of nida. Or the other way,
it has to be
sometime after the Yemei Nida, from the 8th and on, right? The other way is we're learning it from Al Nidasa, which means next to her Nida, which again means not during her days of Nida, not during her days, but immediately afterwards, right? So there are two different ways of learning. Anyway, it means
the first way
is Beloy Es Nidasa, not during the time of her Nida.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's immediately adjacent.
So we're going to talk about that later. We'll get to that, right? The point is definitely it means not during the Yemei Nida.
Fine,
that's the Braisa was after that. We were thinking that maybe when it says Ki Yozov Zoyv Dama Yomim Rabim, maybe what it means is possibly your test is talking about if she has a flow for 1 day or 2 days, then fine, she just needs to wait till the end of the 7 days. But if she has three or more, she always needs 7 clean days. No, we're saying the 3 days in a row is only if it's below Es Nidasa or Al Nidasa. Two different ways of looking at it.
It means right after, right.
So, Somoch L'Nidasa is adjacent to her, means next to her Nida. So, not during her actual Nida period. Now, the Aimli Ella Somoch L'Nidasa. Now, from that, you would only learn that it means only if she had the flow immediately after. So, let's say she had the flow on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Then we're saying she's a Zavod Gdola. But what if she has it, let's say, on the 9th, 10th, and 11th, let's say? Yoim Echad Minayin. How do we know even if it's 1 day apart? So, let's say she had her 7 days of Nida. So let's say they began Rosh Chodesh Nisan, let's say. Nothing on the 8th. Then she had on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of Nisan. How do we know that also she's a Zavod Gdola? Talmud Lama. Therefore, the pasuk says, or if she has a flow. The or comes to add something extra. So even if there was 1 day in between. Next, continues the brach.
I mean, if the nida is over, then it's 3 days.
Because since we said al nidasa, especially if we say al nidasa, maybe it only means if it's immediately afterwards, maybe only the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Any time after that has a different din. Yeah. Then, so that's how we know if it's 1 day. Minayin l'rabbis muflag shnayim shlosha abo chamisha shisha v'shiva shmoyna tisha asara minayin. How do we know even if it's 2 or 3 or etc. up to 10 days later than her days of Nida? Amarta, so now we can figure it out by logic. We can figure it like this. We're going to use a mamatsinu. We're going to use a binyan ask. Mamatsinu b'revi, what do we find as far as the 4th day after the days of Nida, meaning the 11th from the beginning of the month, let's say. So again, you had 7 days of Nida, 1 through 7. Right. Now you have 8, 9, and 10. We said explicitly the pasuk is telling us that those can be Yemei Zira. What happens the 11th day? The 11th day we said could be a day of Zira or it could be a clean day. Sheroi l'sfira v'roi l'ziva. The 11th day, we already said, is able to be one of the 7 clean days. If she had a flow on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, then the 11th day can be her first clean day. It can also be a day of Ziva, because we just said the Ziva could also be on the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and we learned that from the word Oy. So the 11th day is able to be both. It's able to be a day of Ziva if the Ziva ran 9, 10, and 11, or it can be a day of counting if the Ziva ran 8, 9, 10, and then the 11th is the first clean day. So once we have that, Af Ani, Obi Ha'asiri, therefore, by that logic, we can also bring in all the days between the 4th and the 10th, meaning counting from the beginning of the month. Therefore, we're talking about from the 11th through the 17th. Sheroi l'sfira v'roi l'ziva. All those days also, because they're able to be days of Sfira, they're also able to be days of Ziva. In other words, what we're saying is like this. Again, we said the 4th day of the Ziva period, which is the 11th day total from the beginning of the month, is able to be a day of Ziva, right? We said that because Oy Ki Sozu, so we're learning from that that you could have three... One possibility is, so far we said, based on the Pesukim only, we have two possibilities when she could be a Zavod Gdola. One is where she has them on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. One is where she has them on, that comes from Al Nidasa, Somoch L'Nidasa, right after her Nida period. The other is from the word Oy, we learn that can be 1 day apart. That you can have one day where nothing happened. Right. You can have 7 days where she's in Nida, 1 day where nothing happens, and then the 9th, 10th, and 11th are days when she has a flow, and then she becomes a Zavod Gdola. Now let's consider. So So therefore, the 11th day we're saying is able to be either one. Sometimes it can be a day of Zoiv. Sometimes it can be a day of Sfira, depending whether the 3 days of bleeding were 8, 9, and 10, or 9, 10, and 11. By the same logic, all the days up to and including the 17th are the same thing. Let's take, for example, the 17th. Once what we're saying is the 17th could be a day of Sfira. Because, right, if she had a flow on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, then what are her 7 clean days, 11 through 17? Once we say that we see that the 11th is able to be a day of Sfira, and we also see that it's equally well able to be a day of Ziva, then we apply the same thing to the 17th, which is the 10th day of the Yemei Ziva. The same logic, it's able to be a day of Sfira if she bled on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's also able to be a day of Ziva if she bled on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, let's say.
So that should go.
So that covers 10 days of that covers 10 days of the Yemei Ziva.
What about the 12th?
Now hold on, the 12th is not. That's the one thing. Uminayim l'rabbis achadaser. Now where do we get to also include the 11th day? Where so far we have 10 days of Ziva. Where are we getting the 11th day? Kamud lima beloy esnidasa. Therefore, we have the pasuk that says not at the time of her nida, meaning even if it's very far apart. So how many days? So Yochol Shani Ma'abav Shnei Moser. So now in that case, maybe there's 12, maybe it's indefinite. Then how do we know to limit it to 11? So now we say, I'm out of lab. So you say, no, it's not like that. It's capped at 11 days. Now, why? Umara Isa Barabbas Achad also Lahoti Shnei Moser. What makes you say we should include the 11th, even though on the face of it, the 11th, which is the 18th since the beginning, we didn't have it directly from the Psukim, because the 18th day is not able to be a Yom Sfira if she bled on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, or 9th, 10th, and 11th. Neither way is the 8th, well, one second, actually, if she, I misstated that. We clearly saw how we got all the days through the 17th. Because we said, when we have the case when Ki Sozov Al Nidasa, then we say if she has on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, then the Sfira runs all the way through the 17th. And once a day is, because you need 7 clean days. And once we have that it can be a day of Sfira, then we can also say it can be a day of Ziva. Where are we getting the 11th, which is to say the 18th day from the beginning, where are we getting that? So we're saying, because it says Beloy Es Nidasa, not even at the time of Hunida, which would be, it could be very far apart. Well, once we say very far apart, then where you could go indefinitely, you could go even the 12th. So we say Amit Lab, we say no. Umara Isa L'Rabbis Achad also L'Hoyt Shnei Moser. What's the logic to include the 11th and say that it's still a day of Ziva and not include the 12th? So the Braisa says, Marbani Achadoser, the reason why we're going to include the 11th, Shiroi L'Sfiras Oy Ki Sozuv, because we said before, there's also the case where Oy Ki Sozuv, where instead of her bleeding being on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, instead it's on the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and if that happens, what are the 17 days? 12 through 18. Therefore, we can include the 18th. We're going to exclude the 12th, which is, I said, 19th from the beginning of the month, because that one can never be part of the Sfira of Oy Ki Sozuv. In other words, it's true we said before that the 3 days, we learned from the Mamasinu, that the 3 days don't have to be right after the Yemei Nida, but there's a limit how far we can extend that. We can only say, what can we say are included in the Yemei Ziva, only the days that either in the case of Beloy Es Nidasa, which is 8, 9, and 10, or in the case of Oy Ki Sozuv Al Nidasa, which is 9, 10, 11, any day that could be a day of Sfira for those is included as a possible day of Ziva. So once you get to the 12th, you're beyond that already. Then you're only learning from the Mamasinu that you're going to say if she bleeds, let's say, on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, then you're going to say that she becomes a Zava. Fine, that's all fine and good. But to go from that and say that, therefore, 7 days after that should also be considered part of the Yemei Ziva, that's going too far. That's why we don't include the 19th.
Why?
Because you need it to at least be tied to the Pasuk. You need it to at least be either Al Nidasa, meaning right after her days of Nida, or only one day, which is 8, 9, and 10, or one day apart, which is 9, 10, 11, and then count the 7 days from there and say any day that could be, which brings you to 18, and say any day of those that could be a day of Sfira is also able to be a day of Nida, because you're learning that from 11, but not any more than that, right? Okay. The Ainli Ela Shlosha Yamim continues. So therefore, so far, we see from the Brisa that we're learning the 11 days. So we see that we're learning it from Sukkim. The Ainli Ela Shlosha Yamim continues the Brisa. Okay, so we would only know from this that a woman becomes a Zava if she bleeds for 3 days in succession. Shnei Yamim Minayin. Or whatever, yeah. Now we said, ultimately we said, because of the Mamasinu, it doesn't matter. By the Mamasinu, we say that the 11th is able to be a day of Spiro or a day of Ziva, then the same thing applies to the 12th and the 13th and the 14th and everything, up to the 8th, up to and including the 18th. Right. The Einli Ela Shloshi Yomim continues the Braita. We only would know from that she would be called a Zava and be Matame, only if she had 3 days in a row. Shnei Yomim Minayin. What about if she only had for 2 days in a row? Now she's not a Zava Gdola, granted, she's not going to Korban, but she's still Matame. She's still Matame Mishkav Moshav, and she still needs a clean day. So where are we getting that from? Talmud Lomar Yemei. Therefore, the pasuk says Yemei. Call Yemei Zoiv Tumasa, all the days plural of her Zoiv. She's like a Nida. So therefore, we learn from that even if it was 2 days. Yoim Echad Minayin. How do we know the same thing is true even if she only had bleeding on 1 day? Talmud Lomar Kol Yemei Tmeya. Therefore, the pasuk says all the days, and all is a ribui, so it means not just two, but even if it's only one. Okay. Kol Yemei. It means once Yemei by itself means two. So Kol Yemei means even if it's not Yemei, even if it's only 1 day, then it's already enough. That's what it is. It's a ribui. It's a ribui. It means, in other words, that not just two, but even one. Next, Tmeya. When the pasuk continues that all those days she's Tmeya. Now, what does that mean? We know if pasuk already says that she's like a nida, automatically that means she's Tmeya. So, what is the word Tmeya adding? She means Melamach Matama Boyala. That from there we learn this concept that if she has relations with her husband or with any other man, then he's going to be Tomei just like her, which we learned earlier in the Masechta about Boyle Nidus and Boyle Zivus and whatever. Then when you say Kenida, when we say that when the Pasuk says that she's like a Nida, that means she's Matame as Boyle Kenida. From there we learn that she's Matame who boiled just like a Nida. Just like by a nida, the pasuk explicitly says by a nida and pasuk chavdalid the im shachar yishkav ish oito rosini dafta olav the tomei shivas yamim. So he becomes tomei for 7 days, and he also makes a mishkav and moshe of tomei, although to a lesser degree, like we learned earlier in the chapter. The same way, since it says by her, that's it. Kol yemei zov shemasa ki nei dafta tia tmeya he. The word tmeya comes to include that the same rules apply to her boil as due to a boil nida. That she is Tomei and so is he. The same rule, yeah. Then when it says he, but it says Tmeya ye, so we have a miut from the word he, that means he metame as boyala, ve'enazov metame mashu boyal. It means this rule of being metame, the boyal, only applies to a zava or a nida for that matter. It does not apply to a male zav. Which means some of the Mephoshim explain that it means even if a male Zav is being Nival by somebody else, Mishkav Zohar, which is also obviously, so that person is going to be Chayav Kodesh, is going to be Chayav Kodesh with Gila from Mishkav Zohar, but he's not going to become Tomei. He's going to become Tomei from touching the Zav, but he's not going to have the Tumah of the Zav. He's not
his wife.
So a different explanation is we mean the Zav's wife. We mean that he's boiled his wife, right? Two different explanations of what it means. Either
she becomes Tomei, right?
No, that's the point. She becomes Tomei from touching him. She becomes Tomei as a Rishon Latruma from having touched the Zav. But she doesn't become, the Zav's wife does not become an Ava Truma like he does. Her Mishkav and Moshav are not Tomei, for example. So a boil Nida, a man has relations with a Nida or a Zava, then his Mishkav and Moshav are Tomei. To a lesser degree, we said only as a Rishon Latruma, not an Ava Truma, but still. But the wife of a Zav, or another man who is boiled azov illegally, neither of them become Tomei to that degree.
Yes, on the fact of...
Because it says he. It says Tmeya he, which means this rule only applies to a female zava and not to a male zava. Yeah. Now you would ask, why should that be? V'aloi dinhu. Shouldn't she be able to make a kal v'chomer and say that the zav is metame, his boil, or his boil, or his wife, as the case may be, with the same degree of trauma?
You should...
Valedino means shouldn't it be a kavachim? Umahi she'ena matama bereis kibiyamim. Madach a female zava who is not able to be matame as a zava with multiple reis on the same day, only if they're on separate days, like we were saying before. A woman has multiple reis on the same day, nothing happens. She's just a shemeres yam kineged yoyim. as opposed, and yet the Tama is Boyola, and yet we're saying that we apply to her the Chumrah that her husband or her Boyol becomes Tomei at with the same degree of Truma from having been Boyol her. Who? So then a male Zub, Shematameh Bereiyas Kibayamim, where he is Matameh Bereiyas Kibayamim, he can have multiple Reiyas on the same day, and he becomes a Zub from that. Ein Adin Shematameh Mashu Boyol, shouldn't it be a Kavachomer that he is Matameh, whatever, whoever his Boyol, he's Boyol, such as his wife? So why taka not? Tama by my he. That is why we need the word he. He matama as boy. Love ain't as of matama mashu boy.
And that excludes him.
So that excludes him, right? Yeah. Okay. Continues the brisa. Uminayin shahu oisa mishka v'moshav. Next, that we said that the boil nida. We said that his mishka and moshav are tame. So how do we know? Okay. So by the boil nida, actually we have that because it says explicitly. But how do we know the same thing applies to the boil zava, or Shemeres Yom Kenegad Yom, or whatever? Actually, Ma'arav Ranshbrug on the side over here changes it, that if the question is not on him, the question is on her. The pasuk doesn't spell out, I mean, the pasuk says that anything that she lies on, can mishkab nidasa yala, but still, how do we know that it has exactly the same meaning? Tamad lema, can mishkab nidasa, therefore the pasuk says, like whatever she lays on during her nidah. So the same way as whatever a woman lies on while she's nidah becomes tame, the same way, whatever she lies on while she's nidah also becomes tame to the same degree. The Ainli Ella Shloisha Yamim, again, we would only know that that applies if she had a flow for 3 days in a row. Yamim Rabim, as it said in the Pasuk. Minayin, Shnei Yamim Minayin. How do we know the same thing is true even if she only had a flow for 2 days? Where again, Zavag Dola, she's not, but she still has the same degree of Tumah. Tamad Lama, Yamay. Again, that's why it says Yamay. They're called Yamay, Zoy Tumasa, and Yamay means two. Yom Echam Minayin, again, Tamad Lama, Kol Yamay. The same thing as we said before, since it says Kol Yamay, then it includes even one. And the last thing, or not the last thing, it's kind of interesting, you know, we've been talking about these dinim throughout the whole Masechta, and now on the last Omer of the Masechta, finally we have the source for all these dinim. Yeah. Maybe it's meant to be a lesson. Maybe Rav Ashi set it up, the Mervin and Rav Ashi set it up that way deliberately. We should know these things. We accept them as Kabbalah, though. We understand where they come from. We don't understand where they come from. Doesn't matter. We learn them. At the end, we need to know, after all, first Nafta, then Nishma. Okay, anyway. So, Uminayin Shaseferes Echab La'echad, how do we know that when a woman has had a flow for 1 day, that she has to have one clean day after that? This that we said, Shemeres Yom Kenegad Yom. Where do we know that concept from? We know if she had for 3 days in a row that she needs 7 days because the pasuk says, "V'safra lo shivas yomim." Where are we getting the whole concept of a zavakana that if she had a flow for 1 day or 2 days during the Yemei Ziva, then she needs one clean day after that?
Seven, we know.
But yeah. Right, but right. So Talmud Lama Yielah. Therefore, the pasuk says it will be to her, meaning that's adding Yielah, meaning it's adding an extra havaya, an extra thing of shivah. It could not have to say yielah. It said the expression in the pasuk is kamishka nidasa yielah. It didn't have to say yielah. Kamishka nidasa. Period. Yeah. Yeah. Anything that she lies on is kamishka nidasa. Yielah means that's adding something extra, right? Yachol tispa shiva l'shnayim, then you would think, okay, so you would say like this. If she has a flow for 1 day, fine, then she needs one clean day. But let's say she has two. Maybe already then she needs 7 clean days. The dinhu, and you would argue a kavachomer again, umahu she'en sofer echad la'echad, madach a man who, if he has one flow, he doesn't even need one clean day, because one only makes him like a balkeri, and a balkeri doesn't need a clean day, he just has to go to the mikveh and need her of shemesh. And yet, sofer shiva l'shnayim, but once he reaches two times ziva, then already he needs 7 clean days. She, where we see we're machmer on her because of Yiyamah, and we're making she has only 1 day flow, and she needs one clean day because of it. Shouldn't we say a kavachomer from the Zav, that therefore if she has two, she already needs 7 clean days? Talmud Lama, Yiyamah. Therefore, the pasuk says, it will be to her, meaning, Eina Seferes Ela Yoyma, meaning either way, she only needs the 1 day. As long as it's kol yamei, in pasuk chavav, then yielah applies. Since kol yamei, we said means 1 day or 2 days, then yielah in the singular, it will be 1 day for her.
We're learning two things from one.
It's not. We're not learning. No, we're learning.
What is it in 1 day?
No. We're saying that it's one day, and it applies whether it's Yemei, which is 2 days, or Kol Yemei, which is one day. No, it's because it's one long thing. As long as there haven't been 3 days, then you yell off.
That
she has to have one clean day, but not more than that. She doesn't need seven.
So that's two things.
No, that's
you learn that she has to have one day, one thing, and then not 7 days. Another thing.
No, that's not. No. Once you say she has one day, automatically it means not 7 days. You're learning that this concept of Yielah, that it should be, that she only needs one day, applies regardless whether it was Yemei, 2 days, or whether it was Kol Yemei, 1 day. In both cases, the Pasuk is saying, regarding both of them, Yielah, so therefore it's only one. So we don't use this Kavah Chomer, so we're not going to use this Kavah Chomer from the Zohar. It slogs up the Kavah Chomer. The point is, Alma Kroy Ninu. So we see this whole concept of the 11 days of Ziva we're learning from Sukkim.
Not
Allah, we should say that, right. So what were we saying before? Well, the answer is, Lodab Akiva Kroy, Lodab Elazar ben Azariah Hilchza. The answer is only according to Rabbi Akiva is Sukkim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it is Allah, Lodab Akiva Kroy. So again, according to Rashi, fine. The point is, what we're stressing is, when we mention now the Machloket, the Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, and according to the second version, we will relate in the Gemara, we will relating their machlokas to what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, and they're arguing just what is the halacha l'moshe mitzinai about the 11th day. Is it one detail or two details? So the Gemara is asking, what's the basis for their machlokas if we're saying we're learning the whole thing from Sukkim? The answer is, they're saying that's very nice, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're learning it from those Sukkim. They hold, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that is halacha l'moshe mitzinai. As a matter of fact, that's Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechon. As a matter of fact, it's an interesting point. Usually, when we have a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and one of the other Chachamim, we usually say, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi. The halacha is usually like Rabbi Akiva over the other. Here not. Here the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, why is, and he says, Halacha l'moshe mitzinai. So why is that? A couple of various achronim talk about it. One possibility is, we talked about this the other day, the Ma'arik says an idea. The rules that we say of Paskin and Halacha, the Halacha is like Pliny against Pliny, for example, those only apply to things that are applicable in Halacha nowadays. But nowadays, we have Chumra de Rabdeira. The whole thing of 7 days versus 11 days, we're not Noyagim. Therefore, the Rambam can feel free to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
We're more Machmir even than 7 and 11.
Right, and we always treat her like a Zohar. That's the Chumra de Rabdeira, right. Another possibility is because we see from our Gemara that Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are arguing within Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, there'd be no room for their machlokas, because the whole thing is based on Sukkim, not halacha mishum Sinai, then therefore the Rambam figures that implies the halacha must be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Because what?
Because Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are arguing within his opinion
of
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They're arguing based on the concept that it's halacha mishum Sinai.
It's paradoxical that today, when we don't have korbanos and no truma, we should go like Rav Zera says, automatically she's a zava.
Well, we're not saying as far as a korban, she's not going a korban, but we're saying as far as the isser to her husband.
Why?
Because,
because
it has nothing to do with korbanos. It has to do with when is she also to her husband and when not. And because it's easy to get confused, the Rambam writes, when after the Rambam presents all the halachas that we've been learning throughout Rosh Hashanah, he says that there came a point when people were getting mixed up and not being clear on where in their cycle they are. Are they doing the 7 days or doing the 11 days? So therefore, we learned at the beginning of our parak that Rebbe had made a takana for women that lived in the fields or whatever, out in the middle of nowhere, that they should all, that if they had 1 or 2 days bleeding, then they have to have 6 clean days to be on the safe side, because we don't know whether she was nidah. 3 or more, than they need 7. And then Rav Zeira Tchum, it's actually not Rav Zeira, Benoit Yisrael, Chumra Lachman, he says women themselves, Jewish women themselves, except the Chumra, that they're always going to consider themselves. Right?
Because of the
confusion, right, because of the potential confusion. At the beginning of our parak, that's Samach Vav, we had it.
Of this parak.
This parak began on Samach Dalet on the base. So Samach Vav. Parak Hatir, I'm talking about our parak. Yeah. Omelet of Shmaya, Lord of Abba. Okay. Rav Shmaya, Rav Yishaya, it says on the side, asked Rav Abba a basic question. How do we know this whole distinction that we've been saying, that you have the earlier psukim are talking about Nida, the later psukim are talking about Zohar, and you're saying the distinction is whether it was during the 7 days and during the 11 days. How did you know that's the way to distinguish? Ema b'yimama teve Zohar below your teve Nida. Maybe the distinction is, since the pasuk says by a zava yomim rabim, yomim maybe means the daylight hours, so only if she has a flow during the daylight hours is she a zava, and if she has it during the night, then she's a nida. So no 7 and 11 days, it's a difference of day or night. Amale, hold on. Amale, instead of Abba answers him, Allah omakra, regarding you, to answer your question, the pasuk says, al midasa, we said before that when does it say that she becomes a zava? If it was al midasa, which we said means adjacent to, next to her days of nida, meaning somoch midasa, right next to her days of nida. One second, somoch midasa emas habi. When would be the closest possible to her nida? Would be below you, beginning on the eighth night, because the yemei nida lasts for 7 days and they end at shia, or say takachavim, whatever. So therefore, the night after that is as close as possible. Vikakori la zava, and we see the pasuk is calling her a zava. So we see from that it can't just be day and night. It has to be, as we were saying, 7 verses 11. Al midasa, because that's as close as possible. There was a sicha where the Rebbe talked about that and explained what was Rav Shmaya thinking and what is Rav Abba answering. He says, the Pnimius, the Hanyanim, he says, Rav Shmaya is asking like this. What's the underlying difference between Nida and Zava? The Rambam explains, various other Rishonim explain, that Nida is a normal, natural thing. A woman menstruates once a month, the lining of her uterus, etc., and then she sheds it. That's a normal, physiological thing. Zava is something unexpected. It's not something normal to happen. And the Rambam characterizes it basically that like she has too much blood in her, and therefore like it has to come out or whatever. Okay, however you describe it exactly. The point is, Rav Shmaya is asking like this. The Pnimius Inyanim, therefore, a Nida can rep, both a Nida and a Zava are Tomei, fine. But a Nida can represent somebody who is, you know, a person has a Yetzirah. Every person, most people in the world have a Yetzirah, and then sometimes, you know, sometimes they slip up. So that would be like a Nida. As opposed to a Zava. In other words, you have a person has a very hard time. I mean, a Beinoni keeps himself under constant control and always controls his Yetzirah. A Tzaddik doesn't have a Yetzirah at all. Unfortunately, most of us are on the road to being Beinoni, and we're not quite there yet. As opposed to a Zava would be somebody who, like, there's a pathological amount of Ra in him. Like, he's doing Averis even when...
It's unusual.
Right. There's a more unusual thing where a person is doing Averis beyond even what his Yetzirah would get him to do on a normal basis. So therefore, if Shmaya asked Rav Abba, maybe you could say during the daytime, meaning the daylight periods of Jewish history, when all the course is revealed in the world, if a person does that, they go and do the wrong thing, fine, you can call them a Zava. You can say there's so much all the course revealed in the world. The Beis Mikdash is standing, the Chachamim are there and whatever. You go and do the wrong thing, fine, we're going to call you a Zava. We're going to call you, you're doing worse than is expected. But Valelia, during the nights, the nightmares and whatever of Golos, a person listens to their Yetzirah and goes the wrong way, maybe first, they're only a Nida, it's not their fault after all, Golos is confusing them. So Rav Abba answers him, Allah Omakra, because of you, and also Allah means higher than you, the Pasuk, the Torah is higher than you, it's higher than your Mahalach, than what you're thinking of, and the Torah is stressing to you that no, even if you're in the night of Golos, you still have the ability to not be a Zava. You still have the ability to control yourself to the extent that you're not going to be involved with Olam Hazeh and with Klippos and whatever any more than the average, shall we say. Allah Almakro, the Pasuk is giving you the Neskinas Koyach that even in the nighttime you're not necessarily going to be a Nidya. You have the power to overcome that even in the night.
Statement.
So the Gemara finishes off. Tana Dvei Eliyahu. We learn in a
Al Nidasa
Samoch Nidasa. The word Al Nidasa means Samoch Nidasa, right? So which means by night. Tana Dvei Eliyahu. This was one of the Rebbe's Hadrons, I'm right. Tana Dvei Eliyahu. We learn in a Braisa of the Yeshiva of Eliyahu. Most of the Mefoshim explain that this means Eliyahu Anavi. That Eliyahu Anavi came and taught this. Kol Hashona Halachas B'Cholyom. There is an opinion that maybe there was a Tana named Eliyahu, whatever. Kol Hashona Halachas B'Cholyom. Anybody who learns Halachas every day, Rashi explains Halachas over here means Mishnas and Braisas that are Halachas L'Meshmisinai. So one explanation, what this is doing over here is because, Tosfos says, because we were just talking about Halachas L'Meshmisinai, so therefore the Gemara finishes off with a teaching about Halachas L'Meshmisinai. Also because the Gemara wants to finish off on a good note. Instead of finishing off with Kachori Lozava, the Gemara wanted to end off on a good note. Kol Hashona Halachas B'Cholyom, anybody who learns Halachas every day, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. He is guaranteed that he will be a person of Olam Haba, meaning Kol Yisrael Yeshalam Chelek Olam Haba. But you have some people that come to it easier than others. So Ben Olam Haba means somebody who like they have like an automatic express train to Olam Haba when the time comes. Because they're learning halachas. Because halachas are very important. Because halachas are the key thing in Torah. You actually have the Igeres Chavtes, in Igeres HaKodesh, the Alter Rebbe talks about the idea that we say that he brings this Gemara over here, and we say that the halachas elsewhere, the Gemara talks about the halachas are Togo B'Kisra Shel Torah. They're the crown of the Torah. And the Alter Rebbe explains over there why that is. Basically, it boils down to because the halachas, all of the Shach of Italia and the Gemara is all trying to reach the actual conclusion. But in the end, you have the halacha, the actual determination. This is also, this is mutter, etc. That represents Ratzon Elyon. That represents Hashem's Ratzon, which is higher. We know Alpi Chassidus, we know Alpi Kabbalah, that Ratzon is higher even than Chochmah. So therefore, in that sense, it's like a crown that surmounts everything else. And therefore, a person for that, for being involved with that, is a Ben Ha'olam Haba.
That's a very serious attack on those people who say you don't have to learn Gemara every day.
Here we're talking, that's why Rashi mentions over here, halacha, one second. Hold on. The Gemara is saying over here that halacha, Rashi is saying over here, halacha means Mishnah Ubraisa halacha l'moshe mitzinai. In other words, there's Mishnah and there's Gemara. There's two different things. Mishnah is the actual black letter halacha. This is also, this is mutter, etc. To put it in more, in later terms, Mishnah is the equivalent of Shulchan Aruch. Gemara is the analysis of it. The whole Gemara is analyzing and delving into where does the Mishnah get this halacha from. We just have the whole discussion where we get the 11 days from. When does this apply? When does it not apply? Machlokes in, all that sort of thing is part of Gemara. In terms of what we have, in terms of Sifrei Halacha that we have nowadays, Gemara includes things like, for example, the Nosei Kalim on Shulchan Aruch. So there's Mishnah and there's Gemara. So the Mishnah is halachas, in particular Rashi stresses over here, the ones that are halachal Mishnah Sinai, like we were just discussing. And then on top of that, there's Gemara, which is something different, which is each one has its advantages. You have actually a Gemara at the end of Perek El Matthias that says, that they bring the Braisa over there from the times of Rebbe, that on the one hand, the greatest tzchar a person gets is for learning the Gemara. On the other hand, La'olam have a Rosh L'Mishnah. You should always be running to learn Mishnah. And the Gemara explains over there what happens. You need both. You need the foundational concepts that are in Mishnah. You need the actual bottom line halacha. You also need not just to be spoon-fed the halacha and regurgitate it, but rather to analyze it with your own brain and come up with analysis of it. So it's both. But here we're focusing on halacha. Here we're focusing on the importance of halacha.
So according to your own statement, so those who say, no, you don't need the Gemara, you can just...
Nobody said that. I haven't heard of that. Okay. There's nobody who says you don't. Anyway, let's continue. Shenema, the pasuk says, Halichos olam loy, the ways of the world are his. Al tikri, halichos ela halachos. Don't read, obviously it's not changing the pasuk. We're saying another level of meaning in it. Not halichos, but halachos. So halachos, the person learned halachos, olam loy, the world of Gan Eden, the world of Olam Haba, belongs to him. One point is there's one halachos, the halachos of Torah. Halichos, the ways, olam loy. So one idea is, it's brought that the word loy over here represents 36 mesechtes that have Gemara on them.
The
gematria of Lamed Vav, yeah, it's 36, the number of mesechtes that have Gemara Bavli on them. But Marsha explains, aside from what Tosfos is saying, that the Gemara wanted to finish off on a happy note, Marsha explains another point as well. When you get down to it, all of these halachas, many of these halachas that we've been talking about throughout this Masechta, aren't applicable nowadays. The 7 and 11 is not applicable nowadays because of Chumra Dereb Zera. The things about the colors of the blood are not applicable because we don't have the expertise. With the Karbanos are not, a lot of them are not applicable. So you're going to argue in that case, why is it important to learn them? Kol Hashona halachas, any halachas, even these halachas that seem to not have any relevance nowadays, move to Chloe Shoben and Haba. And therefore, the Gemara is finishing off with that. Davka over here, says Marshall.
Two things. They're not applicable today. They're not applied today, but they could be applicable should the Rabbanan decide.
No Rabbanan nowadays have the ability to go against Chumra Dereb Zera. When Mashiach comes, that's different. That's Hilchos Hilam Mashiach. That's Hilchos Hilam Mashiach. Maybe, but that's Hilchos Hilam Mashiach. We're talking about in the here and now, it's important to learn these halachas because they're Chochmos Dereb Zera Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we're not able to apply them nowadays.
The second question I have is, it says kol hashene alachos b'chol yom, but it also says yom v'layla. Why just b'chol yom?
First of all, yom can mean a 24-hour period as well.
Yom is different from layla.
Okay, but it isn't always. So many times, yom can mean every day. Okay, so so you have to learn Torah day and night, but there's also, again, there's Mishnah, which is, there's Halacha, specifically Halacha Mishnah Mishnah, and then there's Gemara. A person needs to spend time learning Gemara as well. In fact, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the Gemara itself has an expression, I think maybe that's the Gemara, maybe the Rambam, whatever, Ein Adam Loimed Roi Chochmasa El Balayla. A person learns most of his Chochma at night, and Chochma is more associated with Gemara. So you have maybe the idea during the day a person has to focus more on halachas, and at night he has to focus more on delving into the reasons behind them, which is what Gemara is all about.
And can't you say by extension that when you learn Gemara at night, you make it a day?
Maybe. That could be. Anyway, there's many, many things we could talk about this, but one thing also, in another Hadron that they've ever made on this Masechta and on Shas in general, he focuses on this halichos olam le'al, tikri halichos ela halachos. Now we have the concept that we said we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned on Daf Samach Aleph, on Machlokas, where the mitzvahs betelus lost in love, are the mitzvahs going to be bottled in the time to come, whatever the time to come means, the time of Tzkeis HaMeisim, or whatever it is, as we discussed over there. But on the other hand, we're saying that the halachos of Torah Shabbal Peh, the Rambam writes, the halachos of Torah Shabbal Peh will never be bottled. So they never talked about the two different ways of looking at it, basically. You're talking about, is it that there exists a world, and you need halacha to direct it? That kind of thing doesn't have to exist, lost in love, right? Because in the future, the world doesn't need to be directed. It'll be on a higher level. That's when we say halichos olam loy, when we look at halachos as halichos, that's something that's needed to guide and direct the world in the right way, that aspect of it doesn't have to exist, lost in love. But when we talk al-fikri halichos ela halachos, that the halachos exist as something for themselves, not just in order to direct the world in the right way, but because they themselves are chachmasa, ritzon, shalach, hadash, baruch hu, that pre-existed the world and will exist even if there's no more world, then that is oilam. That's forever, and that's something that, as the Rambam says, is never going to be bothered.
How can it be an halacha without an halicha? I mean,
it means, in other words, that nowadays we need halacha to direct. This thing in the world is Osir, this thing in the world is Mutter, this thing, as the Alter Rebbe is explaining in the Tanya of these days, is Mutter, is unbound and is able to be brought up a mile. This is Osir, this is tied down and off limits. In the time of Mashiach, that's Ruach HaTuma Avim in Aretz, the Sholosh Klipas HaTmeis, there won't be any more. Klipas Noga will have been completely refined. So at that point, La'osid Lavoi, Halacha is not so much in order to demarcate what we can do and what we can't do. It's a pure expression of what Hashem wants. What Hashem wants,
and we're
we'll have a different kind of Bechira. As they ever talked about in a different Sikha, it'll be the difference between between motion here on earth and motion in space. Motion here on earth involves action and reaction. Every action generates an equal and opposite reaction. You're pushing against something. A rocket in space, they ever talked about this when rockets were on the way to the moon in 68-69, that they are able to function in a vacuum because they push themselves, basically. They push against themselves the same way that ever gave the analogy. Nowadays, we have a Yetzirah, we have a Nefesh HaBahamis, we have a world around us that we have to push against and do the right thing. Well, Asid Lover, the pushing will be against, we will be pushing ourselves. We don't need an external thing to push us, and we don't need an external thing to push against.
That means that's why.
It means, in other words, it means it's a different kind of Bechira. There's the Bechira. Am I going to stay still, or am I going to keep on going higher?
Then when you know,
it's a different kind of Bechira than we're familiar with. It's the kind of Bechira that Adam and Chava had before the Chet Yetadah.
Oh.
Kind of Bechira, not good or bad, but good or better. Good enough or better. You know, soon we're going to have, in Perek Tesvav of Tanya, for example, the Alter Rebbe talks about the idea, you know, you have two types of tzaddikim, Oved Elokim and Asher Lo Yavodei. So both of them are tzaddikim, the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, but one of them just serves Hashem the way he's used to. He doesn't push himself any further. As the Gemara says over there, you know, he learns 100 times because that's exactly the number of times that a typical person learns. As opposed to, you have the person who pushes himself beyond. He learns the 101st time. That's the Oved Elokim. He goes beyond, he goes the extra step beyond to actually serve Hashem, not just with the regular thing he's been doing until now. So that's the kind of choice that all of us will have lost in love.
Well, now, you're saying, if you're finishing with this, you have to do 101 times the cycle of the Dachshund.
How by a person should live that long. But one other thing I should, first of all, had run a lot to know because the Slickle and the Sefer and the whole Talmud Bavli. But also, you know, we have to connect the end to the beginning. So that Rebbe also talked about in that sikha that I mentioned before about b'yamama tevei zava b'leil yatevei nida, the connection is, we say over here that the Torah gives us the nesinas koyach, that even when we're in the darkness and the nightmare of galus, that we still have the ability to not be to not be a zava, and to not become tamei, but rather to remain tahor, and that brings us back to the beginning of Shas. What do we do at night? Me'imasai Torah neshma ba'arvin. What do we do in the evenings, in the nighttime, in the dark times? We say Shema and we recognize and re-strengthen by ourselves that Hashem is one and He controls everything and He tells us what to do and that we can and we have to listen to Him and follow Him. That's the connection. By night, Rav Shmaya is arguing, by night isn't a person inevitably a nidda. By night, in the night of Golos, doesn't a person inevitably become Tomei? And the answer is no. At night, you're saying Shema. Name is Ikona Shema, but Arden.
Well, I want to thank you very much and wish you and your wife that having the nachas of children and all the years of those 7 years in the seven and a half, whatever they have. It's of course going to be wealthy.
Thank you for sticking with me through all of it.
That's where
we would like to speak longer.
I know.
I wish you to give us a better vichad. Please, a better
man. Amen. I'm right.
So continue wherever it's true, you do whatever. It's about doing whatever you're going to give. It should be that blessing.
Amen.
When we say a hadron, by the way, one explanation, you know, with one meaning of the word hadron means we will return to you. We're saying hadron Allah, we will return to you. Masechta Nida, the hadron, or whatever Masechta, or Talmud Bavli as a whole that you learned, the hadra halon, and you should return to us. Because we need the Torah to return to us also, because you have the expression, it says they have the expression, Rashi brings it on one of the Sukkim in Bahayim Shemaya, Yoim Tazveni Yemaim Ezbeka. You abandon the Torah for one day, then it abandons you for two, because it's like as if you're going in opposite directions. So you leave it alone for one day, you wind up now, you're 2 days distance apart. Because you're moving in one direction, and the Torah meanwhile is moving in the other direction, and therefore you need a much harder effort to get back into it. So therefore, we're asking that the Torah that we learned should return to us and not keep on moving away from us. But the Maharal's brother, Reb Chaim, wrote a sefer where he explains another meaning of it. Hadron also means your glory. Hadron Allah, whichever Masechta Nida in this case, your glory is on us because the Goyim have Torah Shebal Peh as well. But only we Jewish people have Torah Shebal Peh. And only we are the ones who delve into it and keep on learning it and keep on fatiguing zich and working on it and whatever. So the glory of it is on us, and the glory of it, the glory of the Masechta, of what we learned, is our glory is on you. We're the ones who glorify you, the Torah Shebal Peh, and you glorify us, Jewish people, by being our unique possession. They have the Torah Shebal Peh. I mean, they have the Bible, right? But they don't have Torah Shebal Peh. They don't have Torah Shabbat. They don't know. It's fine. They don't have a clue, but they still have it in some form. But Torah Shabbat Peh, they don't have it all. They don't learn Torah Shabbat Peh. They don't participate in it. They don't try to understand it and derive new ideas in it. We do, and that's the Hadron, that's the Hodor, the glory that we give to the Torah and that the Torah gives to us. And so therefore we continue, L'nis Nishim Inach, that we won't forget you and you won't forget us because you, Torah Shabbat Peh, and we Jewish people are interdependent. We both depend on each other to keep us going. We say in the Hadron over here, we say, we won't forget you, Masechta Nida, and you won't forget us. So he says, that's the idea. Because we Jewish people in Torah Shabbat Peh are interdependent. We always keep on going together forever.
I mean, like, from all the things we did, this would have been like a crown.
Yeah, we should have had a crown.